Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, Lydia, was that you at the end of that Muddy Waters riff there going woo?
Might have been.
Might have been.
Spirit, at least, yeah.
Lydia Ross is the Program Director, Public Art Department, Cultural Affairs, and Special Events. And boy, have you cooked up a special, long-lasting, well, for decades, this will stick around, I guess, as long as there are sidewalks. Explain what you've
and
been
the
up
internet.
To. Yeah, and the internet. Exactly. By the way, there's a musiclivesheer.site. That is the actual web address. Musiclivesheer.site.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure to be on your show, John.
Thanks.
This project that you're referring to, and of course kicking us off with some music, it's called Music Lives Here, and it's a multi-pronged public art project that was cooked up back in 2019 as the City of Chicago and the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events was getting ready for the Year of Chicago Music, which was, for many reasons, pushed to 2021. But we were talking with our music legacy group, and there was, you know, an urgency to marking the places that have mattered to Chicago's music history. And out of that very obvious desire came a great opportunity for artistic and scholarly collaboration. So Music Lives Here is a project that was commissioned by the city. We commissioned an incredible artist design team called Sonnenzimmer. That's Nick Butcher and Nadine Nakanishi, as well as Maya Bird Murphy, a designer who runs Chicago Mobile Makers, and also enlisted the incredible writing skills and scholarship of Aaron Cohen to create this physical and digital, really scratching the top tip of the iceberg of sights, sounds, places, and people that have mattered to Chicago's music history. We didn't do this. This is already a collaborative group, but we didn't do it alone. We enlisted an incredible site selection committee and landed on 50, you know, again, there was never, we could and will hopefully spend the rest of our lives adding to this list, but we picked 50 sites that felt like they represented, you know, across cultures, across genres, across different eras of Chicago's history, stories that, you know, were known and needed to be shouted from the rooftops, like 2120 Chess Records, and, you know, quieter stories of underground resistance or, you know, really homegrown roots of Chicago house music through the Loop roller disco, during Gangsta Music, which came out of Chicago's Mexican-American community. So the project has these gorgeous physical markers. Yes, like you said, as long as there are sidewalks, you can see them all over the city. And it has a QR code that takes you to a really dynamic and beautiful website that allows you to dive deeper into the history of each of these 50 sites.
Well, kudos to you and all of the people who help you. That is one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard of. I mean, it's a great... No, seriously. I mean, you know, Chicago has an unbelievable music presence and always has. And like you say, in a variety of different types of music. And to go back, it would be something just to say, okay, let's go back and get the top 50 and put them on a website. But then you say, well, let's get some artistic input and we'll make... What do you call them? Their
We call them our tribute markers. And I forgot a third important piece, as if there wasn't enough, but Sonnenzimmer also created a gorgeous poster is on one side a map of all of the sites. We partnered with Chicago Public Libraries, so you can pick up a copy of this map and poster at every single branch of Chicago Public Libraries across the city. Your local branch, the regional branches, all of them. And on the back, there is a make your own tribute marker. Again, I'm going to repeat this, but 50 is the tip top of the iceberg, right? So part of this project's intention was really to, you know, kind of put these sites out there as a catalyst and then say to the wider Chicago community, show us where music lives. Music lives. It's called Music Lives Here for a reason. It's all around us. And so we hope that people will pick up these printed posters and actually cut out the template and, you know, show off their apartment where their grandpa invented some weird instrument, or their building that used to be an underground, you know, speakeasy jazz club, and that people will tag Music Lives Here, you know, hashtag Music Lives Here, and that the project that we're putting out there is just the beginning of a citywide conversation and kind of oral history project.
Well, the other thing that really grabbed me was the idea that, okay, once you locate a spot and you go there and you see this marker, but then there's a code. I mean, that's like that's like a cherry on the top, you know? I mean, there's a code that you can do with your phone, and that just takes you somewhere else. That's fantastic. I just think that's an unbelievable technological awareness and addition to this whole idea. Now, the reason I played Muddy Waters is because one of these locations is Muddy Waters House. Where is that?
Muddy Waters House is in Bronzeville. The exact address is 4339 South Lake Park Avenue.
Do you know how long he lived there, or any of the, you know, the history of the residence?
Yeah, he moved into the house in 1954. And again, I have to give so much credit to Aaron Cohen, who wrote all of the blurbs and all of the scholars and musicians that he spoke to collect these histories. But Muddy Waters moved into the house in 1954, and it just exploded. Or he may have purchased it that year and moved in shortly after. But, you know, early mid-50s. And it wasn't just his family house. It was like the home for Chicago residents, for passers through, for, you know, neighbors to hear informal performances. The basement was his rehearsal room. There were jam sessions. There were, you know, other chess artists, Howlin' Wolf, Chuck Berry.
Oh, yeah.
People whose names we may never know. And then he moved out of it in the early mid 70s, around 74.
Well, I love the idea, too, that not only is there a marker and the address, but also, well, let's call it a backstory about the location. We're having if you ask me, a very fascinating conversation with Lydia Ross, who is the Program Director of Public Art Department and Cultural Affairs and Special Events, about a brand new project that salutes the roots of Chicago music past and present. And we'll do more about that when we come back on 720 WGN. We continue our conversation with Lydia Ross, who's the Program Director of Public Art, Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, and there's a very special event going on called Music Lives Here. Let's get to some of the other locations, Lydia, that you have put together with your team. As you said before the break, you took 50, but there could be tons more. This is just a place to start.
Hundreds. Yeah. Thousands, probably.
And a lot of folks are familiar with Chess Records at 2120 South Michigan.
Yes.
I mean, the Rolling Stones came in there, Chuck Berry. I mean, it's legendary. The Chess Brothers, they owned a radio station for a while. Legendary. But then we get down to I'm intrigued with the Ebenezer Baptist Church at 4501 South Vincennes. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, it is one of, if not the birthplace of gospel music. And wow. I'm sure there are many music experts listening in that will have opinions, but I think it's fair to say it is one of, if not the most critical venues to support the birth of gospel. It was originally called Isaiah Temple, and Ebenezer Baptist Church moved in the beginning of the 20s, and it was one of the largest Black congregations in Chicago. There was a really, really important choir director, Theodore Fry, and a pianist named Thomas Dorsey, and they, you know, the pastor at the time wanted his services to sound like what he heard growing up in the South. So he turned to the choir director, he turned to the pianist, and they formed the first modern gospel choir. And wow. it was a mix of spirituals and hymns, but Dorsey was himself a musician who was really steeped in jazz and blues, and it just became much a power greater than itself. There were packed houses, hand clapping, shouting. Yeah, yeah. It was like a rock venue except gospel. And Dorsey ended up moving. I'm not sure how. Somewhere only a few years, or maybe even within a year of getting that started at Ebenezer Baptist Church, he moved to Pilgrim Baptist Church.
Let's go to the north side. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, if you've got more.
No, okay. That's it. Just to say that Pilgrims is not on the list of 50, but that's another one where we hope that as people are reading these descriptions, it's like a great rabbit hole where you read about Ebenezer and then you see Pilgrim and then you got to look into Pilgrim and one story just kind of feeds the next.
Oh no, this is definitely a rabbit hole. I can see that right now.
The good kind.
800 North Kedzie Avenue, the Rockola Manufacturing Company. What's that story?
So I love this story, and I feel like as someone with the middle name Records, you will appreciate that Rockola was founded by a Canadian immigrant named David C. Rockola.
Really?
Which I there's so much of this history that I just knew nothing about before this project. His name, one word, Rockola. He came to Chicago and created a new kind of record player. Aaron cheekily notes in his blurb that, it was a name that went on to be bigger than he might have ever imagined. But that shop, the Rockola Manufacturing, got started in the later 1920s. And it was called the Rockola Scale Company, and originally they were making slot machines and novelty games, and then that kind of evolved into jukeboxes, and then he trademarked that under the Rockola name, so then there was a little dash between Rock and Ola. So it was one of the first, by the early 1940s, that had really become the classic jukebox design.
Yeah.
And I think over time, they went from holding, 10 or 12 songs to like hundreds of songs.
Right. Yeah, that's a great, I didn't know that Rockola truly was his last name, but that's great to know.
Yeah, that is a great fun fact.
Yeah, it sure is. I see that you have four categories: distribute, gather, manufacture, and broadcast. Can you touch briefly on each of those?
Yeah, well, we really, again, there are so many categories and a lot of kind of curatorial decisions, but the way that we divided those was really thinking about the types of spaces and the types of places, and really was just a way to kind of orient people to what kinds of places they could discover. So gather is really referring to more formal music venues, but also places, like I've mentioned, the Loop Roller Disco, where it may have been gathering in a sense that was much more homegrown, that was much more, you know, DIY and creating spaces where groups might not have been welcome otherwise. Manufacture is pretty straightforward. We have some of the most incredible manufacturing in the country, if not the world. Lyon and Healy Harp, the Hammond, the Hammond organ. There's several manufacturing spots. Distribute are amazing record labels, everything from Chess to Delmark to Curtom Records, Curtis Mayfield's recording studio, and broadcast. We can't talk about Chicago's music history without paying tribute to radio.
Well, not only that, I see, as part of broadcast, the Soul Train Studios at 141 West Jackson Boulevard. I love that show. I watched it all the time with Don Cornelius. And unfortunately, we have, as they say in the radio business, run out of time, Lydia. But I want to thank you so much for coming on and alerting everybody to the Music Lives Here tribute. I want to say once again, there is a website, musicliveshere.site is where you can get all sorts of information about the locations of the different tribute markers in and around the city that form a unique pattern of Chicago history in the music world, both past, present, and I'm sure they'll be working on it in the future. So thank you very much, Lydia, for being with us. I really appreciate it.